It is the first ever two-hour Homer Hour. Subscribe on YouTube whenever or wherever you're listening. Just know we're live on YouTube as well. That's where everybody's going now. They not only want to hear it, they want to see it. You can watch the show, see what's happening in the studio, find out if the dome is open or closed. Comment along with us. Just search ESPN Milwaukee on YouTube and subscribe today. Giannis leaving the Bucks, going to Miami. Draft is tonight. And joining us now, as appropriate, given that he played in the NBA and played with Magic Johnson, who was one of those who stayed in one place, Tony Smith. Tony, good evening.
Homer, how are you, buddy?
I am fine. And you?
I am pretty good, thank you.
What's your handicap now?
Yeah, 7.
All right, people need to know, Tony Smith's a very good golfer. He's a 7, but I think you have the potential to be a 4. Have you ever been as low as a 4?
I've been down to 3 before, but yeah.
Because, man, when you
I should be lower right now.
When you get to 1 or scratch, and those are people that just get birdies all the time, right? They just
that's just too much work.
All right, the last time we talked, I believe you said, let's just get this done. It's time for the Bucks to move on. Time for Giannis to move on. Yep. Am I describing your thoughts correctly?
Yep, 100%. Yep, way overdue.
Explain that as a former player in the league.
I'm arguing with people on Facebook all the time. They calling me a hater because I told the Bucks to let Giannis go. Free him from.
When did you first say let Giannis go?
It was probably 2 years ago.
And why?
Because Milwaukee had their run. You know, they got a championship out of it. There was some time. There's a window with everybody, right? So the Bucks had their window. They got
you
a championship.
Thought 2 years
they
ago the window had run its course.
It closed. Yes, okay, it had closed already.
Because Bud left, or because Drew Holiday left. What made you say?
Yeah. All of that. Middleton couldn't stay healthy.
There you go.
Holiday's gone. You didn't keep PJ after the championship.
I want to just interrupt for
a lot of little stuff.
You knew, or I'm sure, how important Middleton is. When you have a championship, there's that. I don't want to say it was like Dandridge when the Bucks won it with, but Middleton was huge, right?
I mean, Middleton's getting, he's getting you 22 a night. I mean, as a second guy. I mean, guaranteed. That's huge. So, I mean, and he's not a guy, I don't need the ball. I mean, you couldn't get a better matchup with a guy like Giannis, who really kind of, he needs to have the ball a lot because you want him to draw a lot of attention. You want him to do some stuff, but Middleton, it was just a nice fit, right? But they couldn't keep it together. The window closed where I thought that, okay, now they don't even have the personnel. I mean, I thought they didn't have the personnel after they got rid of Tucker and
Lillard didn't make you think they had the personnel.
No.
Explain
Lillard's
that.
One guy. Well, just because he's not that guy. He's also a ball-heavy, ball-dominant guy. He needs the ball. So now you're taking the ball out of Giannis's hand. So it just, to me, it just wasn't going to be that type of fit. That's just me, though, right? But
well, no, because the idea was that they were worried that late in games they were just going to foul Giannis. They need somebody who could score and pressure, which certainly Lillard could, but that's not just the
correct.
Only time you play a game, right? There were so many
others. Correct, right. Yeah. There's the entire game before you get to that point. Yeah. And it just it didn't seem like the right fit, and it turned out that it wasn't. But either way, I thought that he had done plenty for Milwaukee. I thought that, you know, there could have been a few different moves here or there to get the Bucks maybe into the finals again and maybe another chance. Didn't happen. Didn't work out. Well, we got you one. And I thought, okay, this window's closed. This roster's not getting better. It's getting worse. And I don't think Giannis deserves that. I think Giannis deserves to go play for another championship. I know, like, fans, of course, always think selfishly, well, we want Giannis here. We want Giannis here. We can do it. No, you can't do it. You can't do it. He needs more help, and you're going to just waste his years. And you saw that kind of last year. Giannis is known for playing through injuries, and last year it just seemed like I'm not playing through no injuries. I'm just going to, you know, sit out, whatever. So it just turned into
all right.
What
to interrupt again, how much of that you described, that period, because I maybe bring up more, was Giannis just got hurt? Like in the playoffs, you have said, and I disputed, and the best example of of injuries. You believe when Jordan got his first title, if you had been healthy with the Lakers, you were working then, you're convinced, you don't even flinch, that you would have won that series.
Yeah, I think if Worthy had stayed healthy and Byron had stayed healthy the entire series, I think we would have won. Yeah.
So
I
how mean, much
we,
of
we
what
a, we literally had a stacked team. I mean, injuries are tough, but again, that's what I'm saying. I don't think there was enough for the Bucks to win another championship roster wise.
Okay.
That could withstand an injury. I mean, from Giannis, definitely. If Giannis is hurt, you're
it's
definitely
over.
Done.
But he's
you're
been not, hurt in the playoffs so much in the last few years.
Right, but if you remember the year they won,
yep.
they could withstand it.
Yeah, you're right.
They could hold up. So they didn't have the roster that could do it. So that just says it's over. But I thought with that, you know, my sentiment was, all right, fine. He got us one, right?
Yeah.
Let him go and then get max value from him. Now, they still got a lot for him. Of course, they're going to get a lot for him. But they had to throw Bobby Portis in there. And they got some picks, and they got some players.
But they would have gotten more had they listened to you.
A couple years ago, they would have gotten way more. Yeah. As much as they got now, they would have got way more. And that's when I think they needed to pull that trigger.
So what did you say when the people said you're a hater? Get rid of Giannis now? Yo, mama?
Shut up.
Did you?
I said, shut up. I don't care what you think. You're just being ridiculous, and you're being selfish. They're being selfish, only thinking about themselves as fans. Think about Giannis. The guy gave you a championship, bro. You were down at the parade celebrating. He gave you the time of your life, and now you want to hold him hostage when you can't provide him with the support that he needs to win a championship.
Do you think he
I have
wanted
no problem
to leave
letting
that
him go.
Long ago? Or were you just said?
He probably maybe even was like hoping that they could do something, you know, but that's him being optimistic about not only his own abilities, but the organization's ability to get him where he needed to go. Just wasn't going to happen. And I saw like some of the stuff they were doing and the people that were giving playing time. It's like this is not a championship roster. So but
did
anyway,
you ever see
I'm
other
glad,
players
I'm glad
you
he's
played
gone.
With or that you followed? Where you said the same thing, because I think players look at it differently. And it was like,
yeah,
just
trying,
let
I'm
him go.
I can't think of any situations off that. But we've seen stars move on a lot, right? And it's not anything new right now. But, you know, focus right now for everybody. Giannis, and to be honest with you, I don't think Miami is the best place for him to go get a championship.
Why
now
not?
I'm very curious to see what they do with the roster. Their roster doesn't look good either right now.
No, I said this isn't about this year. They're going to take 1 year to try to get the team together. Miami
they're going to have to, because the roster does not look good right now, and maybe they're fine with that because maybe Giannis is still recovering and not fully healthy. I don't know what's going on. But again, if we're talking about what I'm talking about, let him go so he can win a championship. Mm-hmm. I don't think Miami is the place for that. Doesn't look like their roster is ready to do that.
Would you have liked the Bucks to make the deal with
Miami,
Boston
though,
to get Brown? Or do you like this better?
I didn't really care who they made the deal with, to be honest with you, Homer, because the Bucks are also a few years away from doing anything. You're not going to get a bunch of rookie, all those picks they got, you're not going to take them all. You're not going to get a bunch of rookies in here and think that you're going to contend for a championship. Now, if you're going to draft them all and you're going to just build like, you know, be like the Spurs, have a super, super young team. But you got to hit on those guys. Mm-hmm. You cannot miss. Right. And like right now, I think the Bucks are what, the 13th pick. That's
10th and 13th.
There.
They have the 10th. They have the 13th. And someone told me
the 10th and 13th.
They'll try to get another.
Those spots are outside of the area where you want to be picking. You want to really be top five to get a
game changer.
They're
saying this year's different, but we'll see.
It is. They're saying, but it ain't 10 different. It ain't 13 different.
All right.
Right.
You're
okay. Maybe
hater.
Six.
There's those people. You're right. You're a hater.
It ain't 10 or 13 difference makers. There's just not. I mean, even if on paper it says that, go back in any draft. How
they
many misses 40 are in the
years
top 10?
The best draft in 40 years for that. Very few times.
But any draft, the top 10, how many misses are there in the top 10 always?
At least five.
They're correct. So there you go. There's at least five. There's half of them are at least misses in those top spots. So it's bound to happen. You don't want to be that guy. You, like I say, you want to be in that top three or four.
Well, they might
really,
use
to get
Hero
that guy.
And one of these picks to move up that high. We'll see.
Yeah, they might. And that's what I say. They got to worry about putting a nice roster together. I mean, because you want to get back to building quick. I mean, what's their base right now? They don't even have a base. They don't have a Giannis. They don't have a base player. Like,
you know what John Anderson said? They just got all the parts. I thought that's a good way to put it. They just got parts.
Yeah, they got parts. They don't have a frame. They got nothing right now. So they're really, really rebuilding. People are, all those fans who are at my throat, what are you going to say now? You don't even have a team right now. So you're going to have to relax for a couple of years, take one on the chin, and hopefully you find some guys that you can actually start to build around. But you're going to need a minimum of two studs in this league to win, the period. Two. You need two is a minimum.
John Anderson, and I agree. The way you descend to be good is that I'd say is 50 wins. I think you got to have 50 wins to say that you're a good team. Is that too many wins or not enough?
A good team. A good team, yeah. Yes. A good team, yeah. I agree. Yeah, you got to be around 50.
Yeah.
100%. And that's might be a minimum.
So you alluded to it a little bit. I think what do fans just not understand about the mentality of players? What Giannis is thinking, what players think about other players staying on the same team or being traded?
It's no different than when I hear people complain about the college game nowadays and, oh, it's going to ruin the game, all this portal stuff. I'm like, dude, because you're thinking like a fan. You want your team and you want these players who have come to your team to stay with your team because they're good. You don't want them going another place.
Yeah.
No one wants their good players leaving, but you're the fan. If I'm not happy at work or I'm not getting what I want out of work, I want to be able to leave personally. There's nothing to do with you being a fan of the team. I'm not happy in the place that I'm working. I would like to leave.
It's my job. Like
everybody wants that opportunity, that privilege in their own personal life. But when it comes to other people and their teams and they're being fans of the team, they don't want these guys to have any kind of freedom. No, you're stuck here. You gotta be on my team because I want you on my team. I'm like, shut up. Go do something else.
Shut up. All right, now, I will ask you on the Tony Smith, Yuengling hotline. So you get 30, 40.
Hold on. What's this Yuengling hotline stuff?
Well, that's what they want us to say when we have guests on to promote Yuengling.
Yuengling is a beer. Oh, yeah. I don't drink, so I didn't know what that was. Okay, I got you.
I have a standard where if people are really good, you're not on the Yuengling hotline. You're on the Tony Smith Yuengling hotline.
I apologize to Yuengling for not knowing what beer is because I don't drink beer.
Because you don't drink any alcohol.
I don't drink any alcohol. Yes. Right? Correct.
Asked everybody is, you get 30 to 45 seconds, Tony, to say whatever you want about Giannis, but you only get that much time. And given that limitation, what are you going to feel that you want to or have to say about Giannis? Take it away, Tony Smith.
Giannis was an incredible talent here to have and watch live. I was with the Bucks when he came in. He was a little stick figure when he came in. Yeah. I was working with the Bucks.
Yeah, but you weren't playing anymore.
No. I was working doing TV.
Yes, you saw him when he was that skinny. Yeah. Did you ever say you eat? You need to eat more.
When he was super skinny and no muscle, and you didn't know what he was going to be, right? He's just a tall, thin guy. But look what he worked himself into. He's an absolute monster. He's ripped. He's super dominant when he's at his best. I mean, the 50 piece in the finals, deciding game. I mean, the guy is incredible. Fans, be happy you got a chance to watch that. He delivered you a championship. You've gotten to watch him for how many years was he here? Like
12, 13,
12 or something. Yeah. So you saw an incredible talent. The guy's a future Hall of Famer. Just rejoice in that. Be happy with your championship. Be happy that you saw that type of generational player play. And, all right, hey, listen, good luck elsewhere, Giannis. I mean, I don't know why he went, again, traded to the East. Now you got to see him too much.
Yep.
And he could now prevent you
down
the line.
I got to ask you, but
whatever.
I don't know that you're the kind of person that does this. So he's a skinny kid. Do you remember the first time where you thought, hey, this guy could do something? Or the first time you thought, holy crap, this is unbelievable. This is special.
I don't remember the first time, but there were early when he was young, there were times where he would do some stuff and I'd be like, whoa, that's, if he could do that more, he'd be unbelievable. But it takes time to get that, right? You see flashes of it, then all of a sudden you see a little bit more of it. And then when he's dominant, it's consistently, he's just doing this over and over and no one can stop him. So that's what you get to. And
Was he similar to any player you can remember? He reminded me some of what he did that was like Dr. J, where unlike Jordan, who flew horizontally, Dr. J was the same way. He would just take off from like another city and then just still be able to dunk the ball as tall and as big as he was.
I don't think there's anybody who's doing that kind of stuff. I'll tell you what he did remind me of a little bit, because it was different back then. I remember Barkley came in the league. Now Barkley's much shorter, but Barkley's a forward. He played the power forward, right? And that's typically not a spot where you see guys handle the ball. But Barkley was super athletic. I mean, super duper. You look at him now, you just think there's no way he can even jump. But the guy was super athletic. He would get that thing off the glass, go coast to coast. He'd be taking it behind his back, and he'd just hammer it. And I was like, who is this locomotive coming down the street? And it was just like, and sometimes it's just like Giannis. If he gets a head of steam, forget about it. You're not gonna stop him. He's going to Euro step around you, or he's just going to go right through you. And that's kind of what I saw from Barkley at a much smaller size. Now, Giannis is much taller than Barkley, but still, that's what that reminded me of. Or if you want to go to a bigger guy, maybe go back to a Sean Kemp.
Yes, that's a
back
great
in the day.
Point.
Sean Kemp used to do the same thing. This guy was crazy. I don't know.
Sean Kemp makes.
He was. It was like Giannis's name. He was a freak.
Yes, get out of his way.
get out of the way. Watch your head. Don't get on the ESPN highlight reel.
All right, always a treat. 4 handicap. Now, I'm not sure you care enough to be a 4 handicap anymore.
No, it's too much work. I don't want to get down there. If I happen to put up a couple scores, I'll get down there.
All right.
I told you though, I'm on the verge of a good score. I'm on the verge.
That's always about to me. It's always in your short game. It's good,
I had to make some swing changes. So
really,
we'll see. Yeah.
Wow.
We'll see how it works.
I don't like people that play as good as you and make swing changes. Come on.
Hey man. Hey.
What?
I gotta do it. I gotta do it. Get it work. Hey, where about your game, fast player?
I'm too old to care.
That's how you play. You don't even think about it. You just get up there and hit.
Hit to everyone. Hit it in the straight. Hit it in the middle of fairway on a putt. Pretty much goes straight every once in a while. All right. Okay. Always a treat. Thanks for doing it, Tony.
All right, brother.
Tony Smith, he leads off the Homer Hour, the second Homer Hour with Giannis moving on. Still TVV. Next up, Jay Billis, who's covering the draft tonight and was on Friday, because I want to play back, because I think it's important to all the stuff that he talks about, because it's even more important now than Friday because of what's occurred with the trade. Next. It is a special second Homer Hour with the trade of Giannis. I never asked him, and it isn't meant to be, but I never use his last name. He's Giannis. He's Giannis. And his brother is the brother of Giannis. Special second hour. I want to thank Tony Smith for being on the Tony Smith Yingling Hotline. Still to come, Tim Van Voren, very busy, still able to find a little time because his work with Fox 6 Sports. And it was not Friday, which is what happens when you get old. Friday was Juneteenth Day, so there was no show. Jay Billis was on Thursday talking about Giannis, talking about the draft. The draft's coming up, and I agree with the comments of John Anderson and others that the key to the Giannis trade will be how good the players are that are picked in this draft because of how great is expected. The Bucks already have 10 and 13. Will they add another one or try to move up? But the likelihood of getting a very good player is much better than it's been in a long time. So getting picks in this draft, many of them, might be worth more than a pick every year. But to the conversation with Jay Billis, which was on Thursday. The best thing to say about Jay Billis, this is AI, is that he is an unfiltered champion for student athletes who prioritizes substance over style. You like that?
AI said that?
Yeah. I asked him, wow, what's the best thing to say about Jay Billis? And then I said, but how about as a basketball player? Standout 6'8 center. I thought you were taller than that. And a four-year starter at Duke.
Yeah, I would have gone with devastatingly handsome, but how do you argue with AI? They're smarter than humans, I've been told.
Hold on. We'll put that up as the discount liquor Twitter poll question. Get a picture of Jay Billis. He claims he's what was the word?
Devastatingly handsome.
I don't claim handsome.
That. I am that.
No, but I want to see if other people agree. Not that you would care, right? But I'm just curious. How many people find you that handsome? All right. You ready to go?
Sure.
I've been wanting to ask you this for a long time. I watched everything you said when they had the draft lottery, and you made it clear that this is one of the great drafts in 40 years in terms of the depth of it. Make sure I represent your position appropriately.
That's right, especially with the freshmen. It's as deep of a freshman class of high-level talent as I can remember. And, there have been drafts in the past where maybe the top player, the top three players were arguably better than this one, but I just don't recall a draft. And it's not like I have these things cataloged in my head or written down on a, yellow pad. But, to go this deep, and that's why you saw NBA teams tanking, honestly. You know, you get the ninth pick this year. You don't have to trade it. You're going to get somebody really good. And that's why teams were okay with being in the lottery, is because you can get somebody good and really, really build in this one.
So how deep does it go? Because this led me to say, if I'm the Bucks in any discussion about Giannis, I don't want draft picks from other years. I want as many as I can get in this year and maybe the top 30, whatever the number you had is, because I have a chance to get more players at a level that hasn't happened in how many years and might not happen again. So if I could get, I think they have 10 and 15 and 20 and 23, I want to get as many from this year's group based on what you just said to me. Is that a legitimate point?
Yeah, I mean, but in a trade, it can be draft picks. You got to make the money work, and that can be difficult. So, it's probably going to be a combination.
But you would want to go and would like to go deeper in terms of what you're getting in this year's draft than anyone you can remember.
Anyone I can remember, yeah. And that doesn't mean, look, there have been so many drafts where you've had guys that were rated high and didn't work out, and then you got guys that were second-round picks, whether it's Jalen Brunson or Draymond Green or Nikola Jokic, and they turn out to be all NBA players.
We saw him play in college. There's no way I thought he was that good. Hart was the star and leader of that college team, or at least I thought so. What did you think?
Yeah, I mean, I thought he was going to play in the NBA and do well. I did not see him being an all-star or an all-NBA player, and I think that's probably true across the board. I know Jay Wright has said he didn't see this. I think his dad, Rick Brunson, who played in the NBA, has said he didn't see this. I don't think anybody could have counted on this. But that's sort of the beauty of the draft in a lot of ways, is we all think we know and we don't. You have beliefs and you try to make informed judgments, but nobody knows. We don't know in recruiting, how many McDonald's All-Americans every year wash out and aren't what we thought. And then a guy who was ranked outside the top 100, more in your area, Keaton Wagler at Illinois wasn't ranked in the top 150 coming out of high school, and now he's going to be a top 10 pick in a little over a year from when he left high school.
But it wows you when somebody treats the NBA like it's college. It's too hard to do, and he's done it. I mean, I know when Wade came in, I'm not saying he's Dwayne Wade, but like his first year, like he's treating the NBA like it's Conference USA. You can't do that. But
but it was a process for Jalen Brunson. Like, it didn't happen right away. He was with Dallas, and then I remember, I think it was Luka Doncic got injured or was out for a period of time, and Brunson jumped up. He was averaging about 15, 16 a game, and then he started averaging over 20. And he was unrestricted free agent, whatever it was. And then he had a chance to go on the market and wound up getting a big deal to go to New York. But when he went to the Knicks, there were a lot of people in our business that were like, what are they doing? Like, this is not a good idea. You know, they kind of crapped on the move. And now the argument is he the greatest Knick ever, or is he, you know, should he be considered the best player in the league?
Yes, I loved what his dad said. That family is so good. No, he's not the best. Come on. Patrick Ewing's the best Knicks player ever. It's his dad. Loved it.
Oh, yeah. But who knows? Like, I don't.
Who cares? Patrick Ewing won a title. He's at the top of the list with all of them.
That's the thing. And first of all, it's like saying who's the greatest player ever. It, you know, nobody's going to decide that, you know, and if you took it to another sport, so people don't get their underwear in a bunch, if you said, who's the greatest golfer of all time? Well, one, there's no answer to that. But if you want, you know, some people will say, you know, Jack Nicklaus, he's got 18 majors. When somebody else gets 18, give me a call.
But you know, there's a group. Of course
there's a group. Yeah. And that's my point, is that it's an unanswerable question. It's a great barroom argument while we're having a couple of beers and wings and everything, but nobody's ever going to have it decided.
Right. But my number one stat in the NBA is Bill Russell, 11 titles in 13 years. That's everything.
It's a great stat.
After that.
It's a great stat, but that, you know, that doesn't mean he was the greatest player ever.
Yes.
And look, we can sit, you know, like I remember hearing Russell talk about, you know, when Russell played, what were there, 10 teams in the NBA?
Something like that. Yes.
And the world was different back then. And that's not to take anything away from it. But then Bill Russell said, well, that means a lot of these guys wouldn't even made the league. But the game is advanced. You know, players are better now than they've ever been. You know, the game is advanced.
All right, let's get to Giannis. If they don't ask you about Giannis, they'll kick me out of the state in sports. You can say whatever you want about Giannis. Say whatever you want. I want to know what you say first.
One of the top five players in the league when he's healthy. I mean, it's not up for a reasonable debate in my view. And he's won a championship. He's been all NBA. He's a Hall of Famer. So anybody, any team would want him. It's just a question of what you'd have to give up to get him.
And if you were the Bucks and you were in charge, you would tell him, you're going to do what you want, but I would sign you to the Supermax or the whatever that contract is. You would offer that to him.
Well, yeah, but I think everything's run its course in Milwaukee.
Oh, okay.
I have the feeling, and it's just a feeling. They know, and look, if it's going to work out, it'll work out.
No, I think he's gone. You know, like, I think he's leaving.
I think he is too.
Yeah,
but you know, it's like me saying, should a pair stay married? That's why would I care? That's not their business. That's not my business. That's their business. But it feels like it's run its course, and I don't think any reasonable person could argue he hasn't put his time in and put his heart and soul into Milwaukee. If he wants to go, or if Milwaukee wants him to go, or whatever, that's fine. I don't think there should be any hard feelings. He should always be and always will be celebrated.
I want
in
a
Milwaukee
statue
for what he has been and what he is for the franchise and the city. But you know, I think it's time. But that doesn't mean you don't get value for him. And there are going to be opportunities to get really good value. You're never going to get a one-on-one player-for-player trade and value. It's going to have to be a package. And who knows? Maybe you'll get a group of players that mesh together pretty well that you could build around. And in a period of a couple of years that, you know, you get draft picks and you turn into Oklahoma City. I don't know the answer to that. But when Oklahoma City traded for Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, he was with the Clippers. And I think Doc Rivers, who you know well, was coaching the Clippers. And Doc was not happy that they were going to trade SGA. And look what he turned out to be for the for the Oklahoma City Thunder. I think you have to look for value in that vein to make it worthwhile.
All right, number 10, anybody that you like. The Bucks have the 10th pick, and I don't know that someone will be around, but do you have somebody that you like maybe more than other people like, or however I put that?
No, I mean, and that's the beauty of this draft. There's a whole bunch of players that are going to fall down in that range, you know. So whether it's somebody like Braden Burries at Arizona, a guard that can really shoot it, and he's athletic, or Michael Brown Jr. from Louisville. There are all kinds of guys. It's a guard-heavy draft. But there are all kinds of guys that are going to fall to 10, and they're going to be worthy in another draft of being a top five pick, a top seven.
So if you don't get a player in there that's good, you just messed up because you got so many choices that'll probably all be pretty good, right?
Well, you can mess up with the first pick. Like, you can mess up with any pick. And you know, how many times have we seen somebody's drafted 25th and they passed up on, like, you know, every team in the NBA had at least one shot, some of them two, to get Jalen Brunson. Every team in the NBA. Every team in the NBA had one, some teams had two shots to get Nikola Jokic. So, like, we can sit here and say we know all this stuff, but we don't. And that's why, you know, you rely on the homework that you do and the intelligence you gather
but
to
you
make
got
the best
a pretty,
possible decision.
You got a pretty good – there's a list that you believe that's longer when you're in there in 5 to 20, and it doesn't mean you'll get the best, but the percentages probably favor you more than, as you stated, the normal year with the long list that exists.
There's more talent this year than in other years, and it goes deeper. But that doesn't mean that just because you're picking at a certain slot that you're going to get the right guy. And so that it's still a difficult challenge, and you want to make sure you make the right decision because, the one thing you can't measure, and I think Jalen Brunson's actually spoken to this, is you can measure out, you know, their size, their weight, their athleticism, their length, all this stuff, but you can't measure their heart and desire.
Yeah.
And some guys just have that winning gene that's usually identified after they've won so much that you can't miss it.
So are you doing the draft, or are you still?
Yeah, I'm doing the draft.
Do I ask you now, what's the tease? Will you say then who you think should be the first player?
Well, I mean, who I think should be the first player, like, there are three guys that are vying for the number one pick.
Yeah.
Darren Peterson of Kansas is the most talented player in the draft. And I would take him number one.
Wow. But even though he's got baggage bigger than a 7-day trip to Europe.
He doesn't have baggage.
Oh, okay.
He just didn't, you know, he had a cramping issue.
That's, all right, okay.
To me, that's not baggage.
All right.
It's like saying Caleb Wilson had baggage because he got injured.
That's why I ask you. All right.
And A.J. DeBonta looked like he was built in a lab to play in the NBA from BYU. And then Cameron Boozer of Duke is the best pure basketball player in the draft. All
right.
Those guys have a chance to be all NBA.
And it's on. You're on Tuesday, Wednesday, whatever. I forgot. I haven't even looked. Thanks, Jay.
Thank you.
Jay Billison. That was last Thursday. Tim Van Voren next. The special two-hour Homer Hour. Tim Van Voren, Fox 6 Sports, is on Tuesdays usually. And now he's on the Tim Van Voren Yingling Hotline. You get your own hotline when you are four-time Wisconsin Sportscaster of the Year. I can imagine. So when did you find out? Were you up and you've nonstop for how many hours in a row now at Fox 6 Sports?
Yep, got the news. I guess it was just coming out last night. And it has been a wall-to-wall Fox 6 Giannis-type day, as it should be. Iconic player traded.
What have you learned from all the interactions that have occurred today for you in your job?
How many people Giannis legitimately touched? Not just, oh, I liked watching him. He got to the heart of so many people from so many different walks of life. I guess when you ask me if that surprises me, I don't, maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. It's kind of like the trade. It's breaking news, but it's not really breaking news. I guess knowing that Giannis impacted and touched so many people is surprising, but it's not surprising at the same time.
And that, I'm assuming, they're willing to do that on a day of some level of disappointment and that he's gone. It doesn't, or I'm asking you, doesn't seem to have changed with the overall view of people. I asked the question, who's the greatest player of all time for the Bucks? Kareem Abdul-Jabbar or Giannis? Giannis, 85%.
It's really hard to argue that. And I mean, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, awfully player. But Giannis's impact, length of time with the team, bringing it from the doldrums, obviously as an expansion team, they didn't have much of a history when Kareem got here either, or Lou Alcindor got here either. But, I'd put Giannis over Kareem.
How
would you?
No, I would not. I don't think it's close as a player. Kareem did everything Giannis did and more in every category in 6 years. But, you know, doesn't matter. Because to me, he's a champion. You just, I mean, I don't know what you're going to run. 50 points. Come on.
Yeah. Yeah.
That never changes. There, maybe it's different when you're in a city where you've won so many, but you never forget. I mean, I don't where I was, what my first thought was with either of the Packers or with the Bucks. And you're certainly following it much more closely. Do you have a
this guy was a teenager, Homer, from another part of the world. English, not his primary
Do you remember
language.
The first time you saw him or met him?
Yeah, Spindley. Oh, Spindley. Eager to please. But yeah, gangly, Spindley, youthful kid. A kid, Homer.
Yeah.
And to me, that's part of it. You saw him grow up in front of your eyes. We used to talk about Brett Favre that way. Even more pronounced with Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Do you remember when you first thought, oh my God.
Well, you saw those flashes. You saw those athletic flashes. I don't know that you knew he was a good player for a long time. You knew he was a great athlete. You knew he wanted to be good. But I don't know that you knew he was a good player for a long time. And then he was a great player. Because he cares so much, Homer. One of the things we ran we've been running all kinds of video today, obviously, of different things. One of the things I ran is that All-Star Game video. The guy couldn't help himself from trying in All-Star Games, Homer. Nobody tries in the NBA All-Star Game. Giannis did. Still does.
How nice was he? I tell the story, I use it for years, that when they would go on the road and he first started, you know, people would want autographs and you sign, you don't sign. And they said, hey, Giannis, you don't have to do every one. Nobody does every one. He said, yes, I do. Why? I used to be them. I mean, I think it's true, but I can't think of any story that does that, even the 50 points where he just always seemed nice. Is that accurate? Much closer.
Ask anyone, Homer, who was in those Greek night crowds. Huge crowds that would stay way after the game, waving the Greek flag. Giannis would come back out after the game. You know, he's got a long post-game routine. He'd come back out after the game. He'd take pictures with so many of them and just give back of himself to these people. That's a lifetime exchange. That's a memory that shapes people, to be honest with you. That's who he was. That's who he still is. The relationship between the Bucks and Giannis got soiled at the end, but I think everybody's big enough to say it was just time to part. You know what I mean? I don't think there's going to be backbiting in this relationship from either side as this goes forward. I don't think that's who the organization is. I don't think that's who Giannis is.
And you now get to do the last one. I've asked everyone. You get 30 to 45 seconds to say whatever you want about Giannis. And you're limited to that amount of time. And, man, I can't wait to hear what you choose to say in 30 or 45 about Giannis. Take it away, TVV.
I was asked today my favorite Giannis memory, and it's Bel Air Cantina. When the Bucks were starting to get good, they had an afternoon playoff game. Giannis led the Bucks to victory in downtown Milwaukee and went with his family to the Bel Air Cantina a mile or two away and couldn't get seated right away because the restaurant was full. Didn't make a scene, didn't pull the rank, waited. They're told they had to wait till their table was ready. That's it, man. That's my favorite memory. The city was alive because of Giannis, and he downplayed who he was so he'd wait for his table at a restaurant.
Isn't it amazing the things you remember? You can't try to remember anything, but you can't forget it.
You cannot forget it. No, and to me, that's the essence of Giannis. Again, that story is only of that magnitude because he and the Bucks had risen to such a point where everybody was on board. They wanted to get to the games.
Everybody in that restaurant would have given him their table, right?
Would have paid for his meal, for goodness sake.
Yes. And he didn't do it. TVV,
right.
Thanks for finding time. I know how busy a day it's been. Thanks.
See you, Homer. You bet.
Tim Van Vorn, Fox 6 Sports. Next. My thanks to everyone. A special two-hour Homer Hour with Giannis heading off to Miami. And Jay Billis, one of the guests, he's on again doing the draft. I think he's on TV, not ESPN Radio. You'll figure it out. Next.